It's interesting with the football, what CeeLo brought up in Tommy DeVito, and he's got to have some anxious moments, I would think, although, you know, his professional career is going to continue, of course. What was cut down week for you? How difficult? Now, you clearly were never in that situation where you were going to think you were going to be released, but you were with guys that were fighting for their professional life. Like, how difficult is this week in the locker room?
It's tough, man, because a lot of these guys have been together since the spring, or have been before they got either drafted or, you know, pretty much trying to get into it. They've been around each other, meaning they've either visited the same team or been a part of that kind of wave. And so when you land on a team with a guy, like all I could do is go back to my rookie year. I got drafted with 14 guys. Only four guys made the team.
Wow.
And all those guys, what's weird about it, like you go through your OTAs, you go through your training, you go through lifting weights, you do all these things together, you do form a brotherhood. However, we all know that day is coming. But there's nothing that prepares you for the goodbye, because you technically don't have a goodbye. I remember when I was walking through the building and I knew it was cut day, there were about six or seven scouts that were behind the door, like in a line, like almost like a firing squad. Mm. And when you're a rookie for the Steelers, you get off the bus and you walk into the building. And obviously, you kind of know your routine. You kind of, you know, get your stuff on, get showered up, all that stuff, get ready for the day. There were seven scouts sitting there. And as we rolled into the building, they literally point at you. They're like, you, bring your playbook and we need you upstairs. And I remember walking, right? And as they're pointing, as I walked through them, I stopped. And one of the scouts was like, Willie, what's wrong? I was like, did you point at me? I wasn't sure. And he was like, no, go get ready for the day. And I remember turning around, and it was only me, Santonio Holmes, and like two other people. And I was just like,
the other guys were gone.
Gone. And to this day, I haven't seen him.
Really?
They
didn't resurface in the league, and that was their shot.
All gone. And I never said goodbye. I never saw him again. Like, at an event, it was just like, boof.
It's amazing to think, like, and I guess it could happen here, too, if like Eddie or me or whoever got fired today. It's like, it's your home for, in that case, months and months and months, and you got your key card, and you're going to work every day, and then all of a sudden, one day, like, we're done with you. Give me your key card. Give me the playbook. Get the hell out of here.
That's it. And then, you know, on top of that, you get to know a guy's story. You know, his mom, his dad. Does he have kids? What he's been through? Where did he go? You know, they're like, you kind of, your world kind of immerses in his. And that's, you know, that's what builds team chemistry overall. So it was tough to see guys walk out because, you know, the biggest problem is I think some guys mentally cut themselves, especially if they look at the depth chart like, well, I'm third string. I'm fourth string, man. There's no way I'm making this team. And that's why I tell a lot of young guys, especially, you know, I just came from Steelers camp not too long ago. I'm like, man, don't cut yourself. Just whatever the reps are, just do your best, right? And when the preseason comes, wherever you play or however it, you know, comes into fruition for you, just give it your best, man. Because I think some guys start looking at the depth chart. They start looking at themselves. They start looking at lack of reps. They're like, man, I'm out of here. I'm like, that's the worst place to be. At the end of the day, sometimes some teams do bring you back. They bring you on practice squad, and they'll give you another opportunity, or they kind of say, hey, we got to do some things now, or on our end, so we'll bring you back later down the road. But it's a tough time for a lot of guys because it's a lot of hard conversations you're going to have, and it's rough.
Well, it's really amazed me for, you know, all these years watching football. And by the way, training camp coverage on The Fan brought to you by GEICO. Switch and save, get more with GEICO. So, you know, the NFL goes from 90 to 53. Mm-hmm. College football, I mean, they could have a million guys on a roster.
Right.
You know, how do you cut through? Like, if you're talking about these guys cutting themselves because they're not happy with the reps they're getting. If 37 guys are getting cut, like, how much of that film is really being processed by the head coach, or is it being brought to the head coach by the coaches that are watching and say, hey, you might want to check out number 78.
Sure.
Because this guy actually can play a little bit.
Well, I think it's they have a whole department. I mean, the whole front office and scouting department, they have pros and college scouts, and obviously the offensive staff, defense staff, they vet all that out. But I try to tell a lot of guys in reference to making a team, it's you always hear the cliche, well, you know, play like it's your last down, right? But it's bigger than that. Like, you gotta stand out in some form of way. Like, that's why I was never against guys fighting in training camp, because it shows that you're not just a body out there. Like, you're actually kind of doing something. So I think guys just have to have a mindset, especially when they go into other operations, Because whoever's cut, they're going to get picked up by some other team. Like, try to stand out in some facet. Obviously, do your job, but just do something. Like, you know, I was always, if I wasn't getting enough playing time, I was going to try to pancake a guy in practice. I was.
Because
that's the only way I could stand out to show that I was ready for the fight. I was ready for the opportunity. So I was always, that's why I got in so many training camp fights, because I was always like, man, when I got to Steelers in 06, they had just come off a Super Bowl. They didn't need Willie Colon.
Right?
They didn't need me. So I was like, man, what am I going to do to show Bill Cowher, who was the head coach at the time, that I'm worthy of being on a championship outfit? So I was getting fights. I was always trying to pancake a guy. I was hitting guys after the whistle. So I was doing something. And so I developed this mentality of being chippy and scrappy. And then guys was like, oh, well, the kid's a fighter. Let's put him out there, see what he got.
Yeah, nice quality to have.
Yeah. And so that's why I tell guys, just try to stand out in some facet. Yeah, it may be kind of not warranted from the head coach, but at the end of the day, you got to get a job. You had to win a position.
Right.
And so you got to stand out somewhere.
As much as you're a team, you're still fighting for a paycheck every
day. Man, Bruce Arians and I got to credit him for saying B.A., Bruce Arians, who is my offensive coordinator with the Steelers, obviously won a Super Bowl with Brady and the Bucks. When he was out at OSA, he used to stand up in front of the team, the offensive unit, and be like, hey, we are not the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be rolling out opening day. You guys are a bunch of individuals trying to become Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's interesting.
And he would say that, and guys would be like, ha, ha. And then cut day started rolling around like it is right now, and everybody stopped laughing about it.
Not funny anymore.
Because it became real. Like, he was like, you guys are a bunch of individuals. And he was saying that to guys who had contracts.
Mm.
And he's like, some of you guys think you guys have it, like it's already locked. That is not true. The roster is not set, and they will. And like he would just say it redundantly, and guys would be like, yeah, B.A., we hear you. And as we got closer, you started seeing the heightened anxiety, especially on the practice field.
Sure.
And he would look at guys and be like, and he would do like this.
Clock ticking.
And like he would say, like, you can come out here and just keep messing up or having a day or just packing it in. But the Steelers, he says, my Pittsburgh Steelers will be there opening day. I don't know where you would be, but my Pittsburgh Steelers. And guys laughed until days like today. It's like, man, I hope I'm one of his.
Yeah. That's harsh. It's a harsh business, there's no doubt. As we, you know, now that we are, you know, a week and a half away, has anything changed your mind about these two teams here with the Jets and Giants? Or do you feel the same way about them you felt 4 weeks ago?
I think I feel the same way. I think the Jets, I'm happy the Jets have really understood that one of the things I think they failed at in the draft was not giving Quentin Williams any help. I thought they needed more beef eaters. And I think the fact that they got Harrison Phillips and they got the kid Juwan Boggs, I may be messing his name up for the Browns, they realized that if they want to get the best out of Quentin Williams, they got to give him some help. They got to get somebody to take some of those double teams off him. And they did so. So I'm happy in that regard. I think they're still a little deficient at the quarterback position. Nothing against Justin Fields. But when you start seeing some of the other elite talent at that position, there's a drop off.
Have you been out there? Have you seen him?
I haven't seen him. I've been watching him. I watched a lot of the preseason. I thought he looked fairly good. I didn't think he looked awful at all.
I had a caller yesterday. I thought his question was, you're a good person to ask. He's like, you know, this guy was so good in college. He was drafted high. He's obviously got ability. What is it about him that says he can't throw the football?
I think it's just his makeup and how he was. People don't understand. When he was at Ohio State, One of the biggest knocks on Justin Fields is that he holds on to the ball. He has bad foot mechanics. He's a big time athlete. The kid is tall. I think he's like 6'4". He can run. He can do a lot of things with the football when running the ball. Nevertheless, but when he was at Ohio State, he was actually sitting in that pocket and look for the big shots. Today's game is getting the ball out your hand so fast, right? Like 2.3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Just get out. That's not the genesis of his game. So now when he got to the league, and you see him with the Bears, and you've seen him, and everything that he went through with the Bears is crazy between multiple head coaches and on and on and on. Landing in Pittsburgh, got a shot. The ball was taken out of his hands, even though he had a 4-2 record. Some of those miscues and mechanics still kind of linger with him, still holding on to the ball, bad footworks. And now he's with the Jets. You just hope that there's been some maturity now that he's with a different outfit. And I think the one way they can help him out is being able to run in the ball. He should not be throwing the ball 35 times a game,
right.
30 games. He's a play-action guy. Let him run the ball. I think he adds another dimension to the run game because of his ability. And I think he's a player, to me, that comes with instructions. He's not a guy you just say, hey, we're going to put the offense on you. Like, no, he's capable of doing good things, but it's limited, right? It's in a bracket. So use those things and allow him to flourish within the offense. But I think the strength of this offensive line, strength of the Jets team, is the offensive line. And I think Justin Fields, Breland Allen, Breece Hall, Isaiah Davis, they can impact that in a lot of ways. I don't see this guy sitting back there and winning a game solely off his arm. I don't think he's that type of quarterback.
What I'm hearing is 1980s type of offense. Run sure. first, pass when needed.
I think it helps the defense out.
Yeah.
I think, I think the strength of their team right now is the offensive line. They have good young talent that can really get it done. Is play behind them. Don't put too much on this kid right now.
Yeah, and shorten the game.
Shorten the game.
Long drive, shorten the game. But get in the end zone, too. I mean, that's the other thing.
You got to score.
Yes.
100%.
If you're settling for field goals, we've seen that that play way too often around here.
Right.
It's hard to win 9-6.
But in reference to the Giants, I think they're going to be fine. I think there's a lot of talk about their schedule and how hard it is. I think Russ is going to be the saving grace. Now, how well he plays, I don't know. But I think having a competent, experienced quarterback to kind of lead you through this gauntlet. I mean, you're talking about Washington, Dallas, KC, and Los Angeles Chargers there.
Tough. As I said yesterday, you don't know until you play these games. They always play Washington tough. And Dallas is kind of, they're interesting to me.
What makes them interesting, they don't have Micah.
Right, so I don't know that he's going to be there week one. I have no idea. And so there's a little bit of instability with that team right now. So who knows? You've got two games. I think the two games are obviously critical for the team for sure. But splitting those two somehow is critical to me for the fan base.
Oh, if they're 2-2, you should be jumping out. If they're 2-2 coming out of September, you should be.
And I also think, trust me, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not expecting them to beat the Chiefs at all, especially not in primetime. But if I was going to have to play Kansas City, I'd much rather do it in September than 100%. Later in the season when they start humming.
Right, when they know, they start getting their wheels underneath them. I agree.
And I love the fact for them, they get the Chargers at 1 p.m. And, those West Coast teams playing those early games on the East Coast doesn't mean they always lose. I'm not saying that, but it's different for them.
Well, when I was at Pittsburgh, I always chalked it up as a dub because they did the time difference.
It screws you up a little bit.
And then, they're coming from 80 degrees, sunny weather, flip-flop weather, and they come to Pittsburgh, it's 50 degrees.
Sure.
So they're like,
it could be 80 degrees in September here for sure.
100%.
But it is still different for them. And so you got four games. I'm not expecting 2-2, but I also don't think it's so far-fetched either with their defense. That's what I think.
And I agree with you, especially when you look at, we love to say Jaden Daniels will come out hot. We don't know that.
No, year two. Really take a step back. You never know.
100%.
You never know.